Good morning.
Good morning.
Anybody like this new climate we're in?
Minus the car.
Our cars will be yellow soon. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 through 13. In your bulletin, the title there, I didn't review it well enough, but it's supposed to be Jesus spent time with those who are far from God. And that's what we're going to look at today. I just thank all of you for having a desire to pray and pray with us as we go on this mission. We're going into some of the darkest places on this planet. Tremendous darkness and over 51 million people who are held in bondage, who worship idols, and who need to hear the truth of the gospel. And so it's an exciting time, but we also know that the enemy is at work and he doesn't want us there. So be in prayer this week and over the next 9 days, just that the Lord would have his way and have his will. And as we sang about, as we read about, that we'd see all the nations glorifying him. Last week we started looking at God's heart and desire to save people. In fact, Jesus said he came to seek and save those who are lost. We saw his heart as he did just for people. So many times he stopped what he was doing and he turned his attention to that one person. We were reminded that Jesus has given us the same mission. We should have the same heart that he has to turn from our own agendas, to turn our attention from that, our own plans, and turn it to God's agenda, his plan, and seek out those who are far from God and introduce them to Jesus. I asked you last week, and I will continue to remind you throughout this year, who's your one? Who's your one? Who is the Lord laid on your heart to pray for, minister to, and share with this year? Who's your one? And as we ask God to show us, to reveal who that one person might be, we also need to learn from Jesus' examples, what do we do next? What are the next steps that we would take? What do we learn from Jesus when it comes to him reaching people, the practices, the way he led his life, and the way he taught us and gave us this example? We want to learn from him so that we know what's next. When you show us who that person is, what's the next step that we need to take? And so that's what we're going to learn this morning. Today we're going to learn about the desire that Jesus had to spend time with those who were far from God. But first, if we're going to join Jesus in what he's doing to reach this world, to reach this community, to reach your neighbor, to reach your family member who doesn't know Christ, if we're going to join him in that, we need to be fully devoted to following him. And that's what we're going to see first in this passage. Be fully devoted to following Jesus. Look there at verse 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Now, Jesus had just healed a lame man somewhere in Capernaum, and he is now traveling toward the Sea of Galilee. If we were to look in Mark and Luke's account of this same story, he gives us a few more details about what's going on. There was a huge crowd. The crowds had gathered around Jesus, and here he is again, like he has many times. He's teaching them there near the sea. Now, sometime during that time of teaching, he saw Matthew sitting at a tax booth. Now, the tax booth was most likely somewhere situated near a landing or near the harbor of the sea, because those who were traveling in by boat from other places would have to pay their tax, especially if they were from a region or province that was not under Roman control. They would be paying their port tax. Someone would pay their custom tax. And so here we see Matthew there. He's doing his daily job. He's sitting there at the tax booth, and he's collecting taxes. And all of a sudden, Jesus stepped into his life. Much the same as we saw last week with Zacchaeus, when Jesus just turned his attention to this one man. Again, we don't know how much exposure Matthew had with Jesus. We're not sure what he had seen or heard about him. But again, we see Jesus' heart. His heart to save those who God is drawing to himself. He turns his attention from teaching the crowds to this one man named Matthew. And he calls Matthew to follow him. Matthew stopped working. Matthew got up from his tax booth and he followed Jesus. Did Matthew know what he was getting himself into? Had he weighed the cost? Had he thought about this decision? We see the same response in the lives of Andrew and James and Peter and John. Remember that? They just dropped everything. And they just followed Jesus. But what we know about those men, they had already spent time with Jesus. They'd already spent some extended time with him. They had saw him teach God's truth. They were watching him perform miracles. And they finally decided it was time to be fully devoted to following Jesus. Whatever the case was, Matthew surrendered his life to Jesus wholeheartedly and he followed him. He would soon find out what Jesus meant about what he said when he said, "Follow me." Matthew might have had the same, it might have been the same way with Matthew. Maybe he heard Jesus teach about the kingdom of God. Maybe he started to understand a little bit about the kingdom and about what Jesus was preaching, about what he was all about. Maybe he saw his miracles. Whatever the case, he got up from that tax booth and he wholeheartedly followed Jesus. Jesus would take him on a 3-year journey of discipleship. And eventually Matthew would give his life for the cause of the gospel, for the advance of the kingdom. So if you study the accounts of the gospel, you're going to notice that Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples. He helped them understand what it meant to follow him. He had a great purpose for them, just as he does for each one of us today. Those who are fully devoted to following Christ. Mark 3:14 states this. This is when he's calling his disciples together. He's spent time with them. He's preached God's truth, and he took some time to pray. Went up on the mountain and he prayed and he asked the Father who he was to choose. And in this passage, Mark 3:14, it says, "And he appointed 12, whom he named, also named apostles, so that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach." Now we see here the expectation that Jesus had for his first followers, to spend time with him so that he could train, equip, and mentor them in order to send them out to preach the good news of the kingdom. Now I want you to think about Jesus' first words to his disciples. He said, "Follow me and I'll make you" what? Fishers of men. Fishers of people. Think about that. Basically, spend time with me and I will train you to go out and advance the kingdom of God. Think about his last words. Go and make what? Disciples of all nations. Again, he's sending us out to advance the kingdom of God. This has always been Jesus' mission that he has given to his followers, and we have this very important part to play in advancing God's kingdom. And as we do that, we have to follow Jesus as he works to make this happen. Jesus is working all over the world. God is opening people's heart. He's eradicating the blindness that Satan has put on people's eyes and minds. He's drawing people to himself. He's saving people. Listen to what Jesus is doing. He is empowering and equipping his followers to share the gospel and make disciples. God's not asking us to do something that he hasn't given us the power to do or fulfill. This is very important. Jesus empowers us. He equips us. The question, this is happening all over the world. This is happening. As we speak, it's happening. But the question we must ask ourselves is, will God be able to use me in his mission to save the world? Will God be able to use me in his mission to save the people of Buckingham County? Will God be able to use me? Because he wants to. He desires to. This is his heart. You are his children. Which begs another question. If this is what God is all about, if this is what Jesus is doing, Are we fully devoted to following Jesus? Are we fully devoted to following Christ? Or are we fully devoted to following our own agendas, our own plans, our own desires? Being fully devoted to follow Jesus means that we have to daily die to ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Matthew 16:24 says, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." This morning, if you were in Sunday school, hopefully you prayed over one another. Another passage in Mark 8:34, you prayed that word over one another this morning, that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross, and be fully devoted to following Christ. It means first we daily spend time with Him. We daily spend time with Jesus. It means that we daily die to our own will, ourselves, and we commit to His will. It means that Jesus demands our loyalty, our total commitment. This means that we live by His words, not our words or the words of men or the words of the world. This means, as it did for the disciples, that we live as Jesus lived. We strive to be holy as He did. We strive to see people like He saw them. We strive to have the same compassion and heart that God had for people. We are devoted to God's mission as He was. We follow Jesus. That's what we're doing. Denying ourselves and following Jesus. It's why our mission here matches God's mission. To be used of God to raise up and deploy equipped, mature, and fully devoted followers of Christ. It's God who does this. He's the one who empowers us, so we want to be used of God, don't we? Don't we all want to be used of God to be a part of His mission to reach people in this county and beyond? We want to raise up, right? Raise up and deploy. Build up disciples and send them out. People who are equipped and mature and fully devoted to following Jesus. In other words, we want to go and make disciples who live and act like Jesus, who in turn make more disciples who live and act like Jesus, and so on and so on. And here we are today because the disciples did that in the beginning. Here we are on the other side of the world. It works because that's Jesus' plan. That's His command. That's His mission for the church. It works because that's what He's doing all over the world. As a child of God, He expects you to be fully devoted to following Jesus. He is the head of this church. He is our leader. We follow His lead and His word always. Be fully devoted to following Jesus every day. Because if you don't, you're never going to be able to walk in those wonderful works that He planned before you were born. Ephesians 2:10. You're never going to be able to see and understand who that one person is that's maybe so close to you. Maybe you see this person every day, that one person that He wants you to reach out to and share the truth, to love on, to care for, to minister to. You're not going to see that because you're not fully devoted to following Jesus and what He's doing, His will. Next thing we see and we learn from Jesus' example is a very important thing. Be available to spend time with those who are far from God. When I say those who are far from God, I mean those who don't know Christ. They don't have a relationship with Him. We say lost sometimes. The Bible says lost. It uses that word. Jesus said, "I came to seek and save the lost." I want people to know we're seeking after those who are far from God. And we desire to spend time with them. Look at verse 10 and 11. "And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to His disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" Jesus did this often. People didn't understand this. Why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know how they thought about tax collectors. Hated those people. Our own people have aligned themselves with the Romans. They're not just taking taxes, they're taking more for themselves. In the midst of our oppression, they are taking advantage of us. Why would you eat with them? Why would you eat with these Gentiles who are sinners? Here in verse 10, Jesus is having a meal with Matthew and many others. And if you look at the accounts of Mark and Luke, you're going to find out this is Matthew's house. This is his house. Matthew has taken time, the opportunity to invite all those he used to hang out with, all those tax collectors he used to know, and those also those that were Gentiles that they called sinners here. We don't know when this meal took place. We're not really sure. It was sometime later after he called Matthew to follow him. But maybe it was a little time after Matthew had been discipled a little bit by Jesus. Maybe it was a little bit of a time till he fully understood what following Jesus was all about. That it was about helping others come into the kingdom of God. Helping bring others into God's kingdom. Whatever the case was, Matthew had invited these tax collectors. Invited his Gentile friends who they called sinners. This did not sit well with the religious leaders of his day. The Pharisees, they strive to live by the letter of the law. And here they are criticizing Jesus and his disciples for spending time with these type of people. The religious and supposedly godly part of society look down on the practice of spending time with people of this sort. Who were these people? Well, let me tell you who they were. They were people like us. They were people like us. Like each one of us. They could not live up to God's holy standard, His perfect holy standard. And therefore, they lived in disobedience to God. Because of their sin, they were now children of wrath. They were far from God and desperately needed His mercy and forgiveness. That was the whole purpose behind Jesus being here, about Him wanting to spend time with these people. Even Matthew understood this. The people in that group were people who were far from God. They were sinners, just like we once were. How often do we listen to the religious people of our day who look down on the practice of spending time with those who are far from God? How often do we choose not to get involved in their lives because it would just take too much of our time? Or maybe it's because we care more about what people think than what God thinks. Why is this such an issue? It's because throughout church history, from the very beginning, it's always been a continual battle. It's always been a continual battle. How do we live among those who are far from God and not become like them in their lifestyle? Basically, how can we be in the world but not of the world? The answer that was given by much of the church over the last 100 years has been to close ourselves off from them. Therefore, we do the very thing that we sang about not doing. Some of you sang it as a child. Some of you parents have sang this to your children of what to do or not to do. You remember. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Right, the next part, hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Right, that's what we sang. Philippians 2:15, I love this because to me, I see this song in this. Philippians 2:15, it says that it's God's calling us. It says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I'm going to read that one more time. This is God's calling us in this world, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Think about that just for a second. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. How will the world see the light of Jesus if not through us? How will they? How will they see the light of Christ? How will they see His love? How will they feel His love? How will they see the acts and the compassion and the mercy of Christ if not through us? We are His representatives, His ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Ambassadors for Him, for Christ. We are His witnesses, Acts 1:8. We go out and witness about God to the world, starting here in our Jerusalem, Virginia, the United States, the world, the ends of the earth. We are the fragrance of Christ. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 2:4 states this. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Listen to this. And through us. Through us. That's us as His children. Through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus everywhere. Through us spreads the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, everywhere. Everywhere. That means everywhere. All over the world, every nation, tribe, people, and language. This can't happen unless we have relationships with those who are far from God. This can't happen unless we're spending time with these people. This can't happen unless we're walking closely with God, living a holy life in the midst of a crooked and sinful world. That's why the church family is so important. That's why we need our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why discipleship here is so important to us. That's why we do the ministries we do. I mean, why else would we do upward basketball? Why? It's so that you, the body, have the opportunity to build relationships with these people in order to pray for them, love on them, minister to them, to share truth with them, to be the light that God has called you to be. It's why we're pursuing after-school programs at the elementary school. It's why we have we work with the Pregnancy Support Center. It's why we have Mothers of Preschool Group. It's why we're praying for God to show us who the One is. It's why we minister here and in D.C. and Vermont and in South Asia. It's why we push for discipleship here at Maysville, because we want every single one of you, every believer, every follower of Christ, to be equipped, mature, and fully devoted at following Christ. Fully devoted to following Christ. God is opening some amazing doors for us to walk through. He's setting this all up for each one of us so that each one of us can take part in His harvest. So that each one of us can be used of God in His mission. Now you might be, as we talked about over the last couple months, about the race that we've been running. He talked about the race and what that looked like to run this race that God has called us to. And you might be on the sidelines. You might be on the sidelines and you're watching. And you're waiting to see what's going to happen. Is this really going to work? Maybe you feel it's just not worth your time. Or maybe you're on the sidelines and you might be in a place of complaining about what others are doing. If you are, you're going to miss out on what God has for your life. What He has for you right now. Don't be like these Pharisees. If you notice in this passage, they didn't come face to face with Jesus. They went behind His back and they complained about what He was leading His followers to do. Don't criticize what Jesus is doing. Rather, get involved and follow Him. Get involved and follow Him. He's calling you. He's empowering you. He has laid out for you what He wants you to be involved in. And so ask the Lord, who's that one person you want me to spend time with? Ask Him, what ministry do you want me to be involved in here at Maysville? It might be that it's through one of these ministries that you find that one person that He wants you to minister to share with. And finally, remember that it's out of the overflow of our walk with God that we know God's will, that we understand what He's called us to. It's out of our time with Jesus that He prepares us to see the person He wants you to minister to. It's out of our time with Jesus that He gives us a heart of mercy and love for people. Which leads us to the last point here. Be merciful in how you treat others. Look there at verse 12 and 13. But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." When Jesus heard about the Pharisees, he addressed them. And he used this opportunity to address the spiritual sickness that lies over all of mankind. And therefore, the reason for his coming to the earth to seek and save the lost, to be the only spiritual physician that can bring healing to those who were held in the bondage of this sin sickness. He's the only one. He's the one mediator between God and mankind. All people are sinners. Everyone, every human being on this planet. All people are children of wrath without Christ, meaning we will all suffer the eternal judgment of death for our sins without the blood sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What a statement. God says you must believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave for the forgiveness of your sin. You must believe that. You must confess He is Lord, meaning you must surrender your life to be fully devoted to following Him, His word, His way. Then He will forgive all your sin, every bit of it, and He will give you eternal life in Him. Jesus came to save sinners, not those who think they are good enough like the Pharisees. He confronts their supposed idea about their own righteousness. The Pharisees live by the law and they consider themselves righteous. In their self-supposed practice of righteousness, they separated themselves from the other people, especially those who didn't live by the law like they did or weren't like them or weren't of the same class. Therefore, they had no opportunity to help people follow after and worship God. They had no opportunity to help people find a cure for their sin. But Jesus came to help those who recognized they had a need, and that's why He spent time with these people. That's why He spent time with these sinners, these tax collectors that others considered them outcast. In His response to the Pharisees, He also points out that they were learners. They need to go. He said, "Go and learn what this saying of His meant. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The Pharisees always brought the proper sacrifices. They did. They brought the proper sacrifice. What the law said, that's what they did. Even down to spices, the smallest of things, they had to make sure that they brought the proper sacrifice. But they lacked in compassion and mercy for sinners. Let me tell you, it's like practicing religious duties, serving on committees, and believing that in the fulfillment of those duties, you are pleasing God. We please God when we abide with Him. We listen to His voice when we obey Him. We follow His lead. We please God when we share the gospel and make disciples. We please God when we act like His children. We just looked at God. He had mercy on us. I mean, extraordinary mercy to come Himself to lay down His life and die on the cross for us. To love those who didn't love Him. To extend grace and mercy to those who were in sin. To withhold the judgment of death we deserve. With what grace? I mean, think about the unmerited favor that God has just lavished on us. And therefore, He wants His children to act. He wants us to act like His children, to show mercy just as He did for each one of us. Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Matthew 5, 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." God's children are merciful toward other people. Those devoted to following Jesus care about people more than our plans, our buildings, our strategies. We show mercy toward our brothers and sisters when we don't see eye to eye. We show mercy toward those in the world that have no power in themselves to control their flesh, overcome their sin, and obey God's word. It is impossible. And so we show mercy toward them because we were once in their place. We were once like them. How can we not show mercy when we have received so much mercy and grace from God? James 2:13 states, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. God's love is revealed in His mercy. And His love should be revealed to others through our mercy toward them. When mercy is lacking, all those religious works are meaningless. It's like what Paul said about love in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, "I could have power to do all things, speak the language of angels, the faith to move mountains, all knowledge. But if I didn't have love, it was worthless. It was meaningless." The Pharisees went to great lengths to offer proper sacrifices, but without mercy on the multitudes of sick people around them, it was meaningless. The same goes for us. If we do ministry, if we do work here on this building or whatever other things we're doing and we're busy at, and we don't have mercy to reach out to those who are around us, it is meaningless. God looks at this place, doesn't see this building. He sees the church. That is you. We need to have mercy as He had mercy. God wants us to have a heart for people like He had, to love people as He did, to show them mercy. I want us to think about this. Are you fully devoted to following Jesus? Are you daily dying to your will in order to live out His will? Are you being discipled and discipling others? And then are you willing to be available to spend time with those who are far from God? It starts by praying for them. That's the practical thing, praying for them. It starts by asking God what He wants you to do. Not what you want to do, but what He wants you to do. What He's leading you to do. That's where it starts. Are you merciful in how you treat others? Or are you like the Pharisee? So easy to be like this. It's so easy. We get a little distant from God, a little distant in our relationship. We can be like the Pharisees who saw the speck in the eye of others, but there was a huge log in our own eye. As children of God, we are called to show mercy, to show love, because God has shown us mercy. As the worship team comes this morning, let's pray that God would have His way in our heart this morning. I want you to stay seated. And I want you to pray. I want you to ask God to evaluate your heart. I want you to think about Matthew the tax collector sitting there, Peter out bringing in the nets of fish. And Jesus said, "Follow me." I want you to respond to Jesus this morning. Are you willing to be fully devoted to Him? That means you're going to walk with Him daily. You're going to die to your own will and seek His will. Means you're going to strive to be holy and obedient in this world. Means you're going to strive to act like Him, to love people, show mercy, and spend time with them. Are you willing to be devoted to following Him? Some of you might be just wholeheartedly following Him right now. And some of you might just be like, "I'm not willing. There's too many other things that I have that I want to keep. Hold on to, that I don't want to let go of." Whatever the case may be, when you feel like you have made that decision with Christ, as we sing this song, I want you to stand for Christ. You're not responding to me, you're responding to Him, because He asked all of us to be fully devoted to following Him. Follow me. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we can't reach this community if we don't follow Him. We can't reach the world if we don't follow Him. So spend time with the Lord right now and respond to Him as we sing this song.